serve the Lord and to celebrate today. What a blessing it is. If you are a visitor with us today, let me extend another welcome. Thank you for being here. Thank you for taking the time to join us in worship. We love the Lord here. We love the Bible. That's our bottom line. And we're willing to shift and change and grow as the Bible leads us. And there are times that sometimes we see things and realize that we're missing the mark and we have to change because the Bible is our bottom line. And we're always going to come back to that. That is one of our core values here for sure. Another one is this concept of serve and celebrate. So all of you who have come for both services today and you're here serving or here celebrating, and then in our second service, you're going to do the reverse of that. Thank you. I asked you to do it and thank you for responding to that. And I want to challenge all of you. It's not too late. You're here already. So please stay for the next service. And I'm going to preach the same sermon, but the music will be different. And what's really important is if you're here to celebrate, there may be a great opportunity afterwards to pray over the service and to walk through the building and to just lay a blanket of prayer over what we're doing here. And that's one of the unique things about having two services that we can do, is we can serve one another in real time. That's a very special gift, and I hope that you all will embrace that and see it as an opportunity. Even if you can't stay the whole service, stay a few minutes and pray over what we're doing, and vice versa for next time. We're doing this once a month until probably 6 months out, and then we're going to hopefully be able to move to more full time and do it every week. But for right now, it's kind of a special opportunity today. So thank you for coming. Thank you for being a part of it. Very good. We've been talking about having a bold faith, taking baby steps towards bold faith. And so far, we've talked about a lot of different ideas. I'll recap quickly. Devoting ourselves to certain things, as was just mentioned with the Lord's Supper. The idea of giving what you can, when you can. God will always provide the opportunity. Looking at the idea of our heart and our mind and our soul and our strength. Loving the Lord our God with all of those things. We talked about how our heart and our mind together kind of form our spirit in a sense. It's that part of us that we have control over. It's the part that's being renewed daily in God. And it has to take charge of our body, our strength. If we're going to love the Lord our God with our body, we've got to fight it a little bit. Because it's at war with our mind and our heart. And we talked about how our soul is this total impact. And how there's a sense in which we have to understand that we are not going to be able to worship the Lord our God with all of our soul unless we depend on this one idea. And that is that we will be raised from the dead. Jesus has raised from the dead. Death has no more sting. And that reality gives us freedom to do whatever He has called us to do. Remember, roses are red, violets are blue. I can be bold because He's going to raise me up too. Remember the Susie Ann week we had last week. So hope that those ideas will begin to stick in your mind. Today we're going to take it to a little different place. I want you to imagine with me. Imagine you live in a world that is brutalized by ISIS. A world that is controlled. A world where there's fear. A world where you don't know whether you'll make it through the day. Imagine taking the back roads home from work, from school, because you can't afford to be stopped by a roadblock. Because they might ask you a question that might lead to your imprisonment, torture, and ultimate death. Imagine that you come home and you're avoiding and you can't talk to the leadership and you can't talk to the police because they are loyal to radical Islam. Imagine a situation in which you slip home quietly and you get hurt but you can't go to the hospital because they don't want you there because you've named the name of Jesus. Imagine a place. Imagine living in a world where you come home and you meet with some brothers and sisters in your house and you gather up together, 10 or 12 or 13 of you, and you do everything you can not to be seen. You pull the shades. You meet at times when no one would expect it. You're careful. You join together and you sing a hymn, but you whisper it. As if your baby Moses trying not to cry because the soldiers will hear you. Imagine living that world. Imagine the fear and the anxiety of that. Imagine joining with your brothers and sisters and begin to talk about what happened a couple days ago down the street at another brother's house where 12 people were murdered and executed by ISIS because they named the name of Jesus and you are now doing the very same thing a few houses down. Imagine you gather together and in that fear and in that anxiety, you whisper, "We need to pray." And you get on your knees together with your brothers and sisters and you say, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name." and you begin to talk to God about what's on your heart, what would you ask for? What would you say at that point? What would be your urgent need? If you're like me, it's going to go down a pathway in which you're going to be saying things like, give me protection, Lord. Protect me from ISIS. Protect me from what they're going to do. Bring us comfort because we have lost those that we love. Put a hedge of protection around us. Separate us. Bring retribution upon the heads of those who abstain from your will. Bring confusion to our enemy. Help us to avoid those that would hurt us. All valid prayers. But you know, I wonder. Sometimes we have a little bit of an American mindset. I found this picture a few years ago. Go ahead and hit the next slide. The infantry in the rain. Oh, this stinks. The Rangers, I like the way this stinks. The Special Forces, oh, I wish this could stink more, right? Aviation, boy, sure stinks way down there, away from me. And the good old Air Force joke. The cable's out, oh no, it stinks. When I was introduced to the Air Force, my endorser, who was an old Navy guy, says, David, you are joining a honorable alternative to military service. And I said, what? Wait a minute. What kind of endorser says that to his new guy, right? And so we've heard these jokes. They call it the chair force, the hair force, whatever the case may be. But there's just a little ribbon of truth in it. And I wonder if it doesn't represent America so well. And our mindset in our American church that we really are not equipped or willing to struggle and to suffer. It's like the ultimate goal of the American life is the American dream, which means I have what I need and there's no pain and there's no sorrow. We really want heaven to be on earth instead of the other way around. And we are so desirous of that, that our prayers reflect it, that our behaviors reflect it, the way we spend our money reflects it. Is it wrong? I don't know if that's really the issue. How much does it reflect the heart of God and His people, though? How much does it reflect what God is calling us to? How much does that kind of an idea get in the way of what God may be calling us to? There's a story told about a preacher who laid out a really fantastic illustration. And he put out basically four jars with alcohol, with cigarette smoke, with chocolate syrup, and with fresh soil. And he put worms in each one of them and preached a sermon. And at the end of the sermon, he opens up the one with alcohol and the worm's dead. He opens up the one with chocolate syrup, the worm's dead. He opens up the one with cigarette smoke, guess what? The worm's dead. He opens up the one with fresh soil, and the worm is thriving. He says, church, what does this tell you? And someone said, I know what it tells you. It says that if we drink, smoke, and eat a lot of chocolate, we'll never have worms. Kind of misses the point, doesn't it? And I think sometimes we do that in our minds. We miss the point of it all. What is the point of being here in the first place? Is our prayer to avoid man or to engage God? You see the difference? There's a very different idea there. What's the purpose of our struggle? What's the purpose of us being together in the first place? I fear sometimes that in America we have this idea of avoidance. And I think what I'm about to show you will represent this so well. It's probably going to anger you a little bit. It just rubs me to watch this clip. And it's real. This really happened about a year ago in Florida. That's why I moved to Ohio, by the way. But Florida is a great place at times, but this is a real council meeting with a real invocation. And typically what happens is in a public setting is those who don't wish to be a part of it will slip out. And you'll kind of see that at the beginning. We're going to stand for our invocation. Someone slips out. They pray, the people slip back in, and then they do the Pledge of Allegiance under God, ironically. And so here's this dynamic that you see at most public settings, and this is what he prayed. Let's watch this.
Here. Vice Mayor Scott Maxwell.
Here.
If everyone would please rise for the invocation.
May we pray together. Mother Earth, we gather today in your redeeming and glorious presence to invoke your eternal guidance in the universe, the original creator of all things. May the efforts of this council blend the righteousness of Allah with the all-knowing wisdom of Satan. May Zeus, the great God of justice, grant us strength tonight. Jesus might forgive our shortcomings, while Buddha enlightens us through his divine affection. We praise you, Krishna, for the sanguine sacrifice that freed us all. After all, if Almighty Thor is with us, who can ever be against us? And finally, for the bounty of logic, reason, and science, we simply thank the atheists, agnostics, humanists, who now account for 1 in 5 Americans and growing rapidly. In closing, let us, above all, love one another, not to obtain mythical rewards for ourselves now, hereafter, or based on superstitious threats of eternal damnation, but rather embrace secular-based principles of morality and do good for goodness' sake. And so we prayed, so what? Thank you, Council.
Okay, agenda additions, deletions, or reordering. Pamela?
Yes, at this time...
Now, ask me why I let it continue to play for a second. Because there's so much there, you have to soak it in. I don't know how many ways that rubbed you a little bit, but oh my goodness, I watched that. I thought this was a Saturday Night Live skit. I kid you not. It would be hilarious on Saturday Night Live, would it not? It was real, in a real council meeting. Someone prayed that is the epitome of so concerned about man and all that's around that we've forgotten who we're praying to or why we pray in the first place. And I think that is the epitome of where our churches are headed if we're not careful to remember what it's all about. We don't want to miss the point of all that we do. And I think it's very fascinating when you look at something so extreme like that. I mean, this is so, we're going to have to bring this and watch it again another time. You realize that, right? It's just, there's so much there. Santa Claus made it into the prayer. Did you hear that? I mean, it blows my mind. But I look at that and I think to myself, Jesus made it very clear, do not fear man who can kill the body, and then he's done. You want to know who to fear? I'll tell you who to fear. These are the words of Jesus. Fear God who can kill the body and then throw the soul into eternal hell. That's who you should fear. He's very clear about that. We don't need to worry about mankind because remember, nothing they can do to us. The worst they can do is kill the body, and we know what's going to come in later. We have been killed, but guess what? God will raise us from the dead. That certainty takes away all the power of the world and all the power of any man or woman out there. We don't fear that anymore. And so I think sometimes we miss the point because we're still thinking that maybe it's okay to tiptoe around because it's not quite that extreme yet. But I'm telling you, be careful. You know, in the first century, when John and Peter went to the temple, and they healed this guy, and all these great things were happening, and the Pharisees descended upon them in Acts 2 and 3 and take them, and they beat them and yell at them and tell them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and they discuss it, and they try to coerce. How are we going to get these guys to stop talking? And there's brutalization throughout Acts. They get beaten, they get tortured and whipped and accused, and Stephen is stoned and killed, and on the story goes. There's abuse. It is great duress. Their very faith identity is being ripped from them. And the Romans are not too satisfied either. They're wanting to squelch everything. And crucifixion is a daily event. And eventually, within 30 or 40 years of this time, the Christians are full on onslaught from the Roman government. And they're wiping out millions of them in colosseums with lions and burning at the stake and on. It just gets worse. Great duress they live in. And they're experiencing this duress, and they come back with the brothers and sisters. And this is what we read in chapter 4, 23 through 29. I'm reading from the NLT, the New Living Translation. As soon as they were free, Peter and John returned to the other believers. And they told them what the leading priest and the elders had said to them. When they heard the report, all the believers lifted their voices together in prayer. ISIS is coming, and we are gathered together. We need to pray. And the text says this, they begin to pray, oh, sovereign Lord, sovereign means you are in charge of it all. Every decision comes from you. O sovereign Lord, creator of heaven and earth and sea and everything in it. And now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us your servants. You're the great God of all things. You have all power. You know what they're going to do to us. So God, we ask that you would intervene. Put a hedge of protection around us. We ask, Lord, that you would remove them from our world. We ask them that you would bring down your fire and brimstone upon the heads of the Pharisees. Stop their evil ways. Right? That's what we would pray. That's not what they prayed. I want you to focus here. Get the context of what's going on. Great sovereign Lord who is in charge of all things. They are threatening us. And this is what we want you to do for us, Lord. Give us your servants great boldness to preach even more. Soak that in a minute. Give us great boldness. Lord, give us the power to say things so overwhelming that it will bust right through the Pharisees. It will bust right through the Roman army that nothing can stop us. Not even the gates of Hades shall prevail against us. Great sovereign Lord. That's a different kind of prayer, isn't it? That is not an American prayer where we protect and we pray for comfort. It is a prayer for courage, for boldness, for strength, for tenacity, for one more day, one more foot in front of the other. Give me strength to continue doing what I've already started to do in spite of what they do to me. Because it's going to be hard. And now we know just how hard it is. Give us boldness, courage, not comfort. There's an old poem that says, I asked for strength and God gave me difficulties to make me strong. I asked for wisdom and God gave me problems to solve. Thank you, Lord. I asked for wealth and God gave me skills and brains and said, go to work. I asked for courage and God gave me dangers to overcome. I asked for patience and God put me in situations with those people. I asked for love and God gave me trouble and people to help. I asked for favors and God gave me opportunities. I asked for everything so I can enjoy life. And God said, I will give you life that you may enjoy everything. It's this twist the way God has operated. And another one says very similar. God says no a lot. I asked God to take away my pride and God said, no, it's not for me to take away. It's for you to give up. I asked God to make my handicapped child whole. God said, no, her spirit is whole. Her body is just temporary. I asked God to give me patience, and he said, no, patience is a byproduct of tribulation. It's not granted. You earn it. I said, God, give me happiness. He said, no, I'll give you blessings. Happiness, that's up to you. God, spare me pain. God said, no, suffering draws you apart from the world. It brings you closer to me. I asked that you make my spirit grow. And God said, no, you must grow on your own, but I will prune you and I'll make you fruitful. Finally, I asked God to just help me love others the way he loves me. God said, now that's one I can handle. Now you're getting it. See, God is interested not in making our lives comfortable. That is not the agenda of this world. It never has been. His agenda for this world is to give us courage to overcome this world. And so we should pray in light of that. Pray for courage, not for comfort. Now, is comfort wrong to pray for? David does it all the time in the Psalms. Pray all you want about it, but don't forget the purpose. You want a strong answer prayer, pray for courage. You'll get that one. God is very, very consistently interested in that. Let me illustrate it this way. You guys see Charmin? What is Charmin famous for? Squeezably soft, right? You remember the commercials? Ooh, right? I think I'm going to buy this because I can squeezably soft it. Whatever. It's ultra soft. Don't you just want to sleep on it like a pillow, right? It is toilet paper that is so soft. But let me ask you, if you took a piece of toilet paper and laid it out and put a little water on it, what would happen? It would just fall apart, right? See, here's the thing. When you focus on softness and comfort, you're weak. That's a reality. It's just the way they go hand in hand in this world. And God is saying, it's nice to be soft and comfortable, but you know what? I want you to be strong enough to handle the problems of the world and develop the character that will pass on into eternity. We don't have a Charmin faith. It's much tougher than that. Charmin is soft, but it doesn't have exactly what you need to accomplish what God has in mind. God wants us to pray for courage and not comfort. And the first century apostles did that so well, even in struggles. James in chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of every kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy." Now, you guys remember that show, I forget what it's called now. What you talk about, Willis? You know what I'm talking about? Different strokes. What you talking about, Willis? Remember that line he would always say? This is one of those moments. Come your way and consider it complete joy when you have problems. I'm like, what you talking about, James? I mean, that is just crazy talk. What are you talking about? That's not what we want. For you know that when your faith is tested, nobody likes test, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, right? You can hear the song happening right now, can't you? Let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect, complete, and needing nothing. Who in here would like to be perfect? Who in here would like to need nothing? Everybody better raise your hands. I know you're lying. Who in here would like to have everything you need and be perfect? That is what he says. You want to be perfect? Pray for courage. God will give it to you and you'll grow. You pray for comfort and you avoid that. And you don't have what you need. It's just black and white simple. Boldness is the best. Boldness at its best is to pray for courage. Comfort's not on the menu of the Lord's table. Further, 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7 says it this way. The great apostle says, "So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead." Now, we know joy is code word, right? We already learned that. You know, fool me once, right? I know where you're headed, Peter. "There is great joy ahead," he says, "and even though you must endure many trials for a little while, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world." Jesus is coming back, and in that moment when everybody wants to be buddy-buddy with the Master, you will be. And it will bring great glory to you because you will be in that context, in that club with God. And it will be worth it. You want everything you need in this life and the next. It sounds like they have a similar idea, and that is joy, and that is struggle and wrestling and frustration and testing. Nobody likes that stuff, but it's exactly what God wants us to be a part of. He wants us to pray for courage to push through those times, not to remove those times. Very different context. 2 Peter 1 says a little differently to start with, and then he wraps it up this way. "So dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Do these things and you will never fall away." There's another great guarantee. You pray for courage, you engage struggle, and you will never fall away because you'll always have a fresh perspective of God. You'll never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Jesus Christ. There it is again. And he goes on to talk about how the angels are excited about this kind of stuff. They're just ecstatic about what's going on. It is a big deal what God has done in this world. And it involves, unfortunately, a lot of struggle, a lot of pain. Let me show you another little illustration. These are Gold's Gym weights. I went to Walmart and I bought these bad boys because I want to get strong, right? Now let me ask you, which one of these things costs more? The 2.5 pounder or the 10 pounder? Why? It's bigger. It costs more. It's heavier. I had to carry this thing in. This is no problem, right? I can flip this bad boy. This guy, however, is kind of uncomfortable. I put it in my bag. It broke right through the bottom of it. Not a very friendly. I mean, I don't, kind of disappointed in it, right? I mean, it's really heavy. I paid more for a heavier burden. Why would I do that? It's a heavier stress. Why would... What? That's crazy talk. Why would I want to pay more and put my investment of money? Why would I call heavy burden more valuable than light burden? Why would I do that? Because I want to be stronger. That's pretty easy, right? It's just, oh yeah, I totally get that. I go to the gym, I spend money at the gym. Why would you spend money at the gym? Because I want to get stronger. Well, why would you do that to yourself? Don't you know you can lay on the couch and it's free? I mean, really? Kind of crazy person puts money into a heavy burden. We do it every day. Paul says, what's more valuable, physical or spiritual working out? It's physical. You get a crown for a while and it expires and it rots and goes away. But guess what? Eternal working out. Now that lasts. That'll take you on into eternity. It's worth more than silver and gold. It is a different kind, and it is about struggle. That is exactly what he's talking about. Life is hard, and God does not want us to avoid the hard. He doesn't want us to pray about hiding from it or wrapping a hedge of protection around us from it. He wants us to pray for courage to go through it. It's a different mindset. It gets our muster up. It gets our focus up, and it changes the way we operate. And it helps us not miss the point. Struggle breaks us down and it allows God to then build us back up. Remember what he said in Peter? Those who humble themselves before the Lord, at the right time, he will do what? The God of all mercy will lift us back up at the appointed time. He has got it in his agenda that when we are broken down with humility and struggle, he will lift us back up. That is how it works. It's just like we do with the weights. We wear our muscles down and we walk around like this for a day, right? And then, wow, and then we look in the mirror and we're like, look at that. Check out the guns, right? Obama can't ban these guns. You've heard that one, right? Because we got them going on. You can just feel the excitement of that because you broke them down and then your body built them back up. The spiritual world works the same way. God wants us to pray for courage to go into the struggle. How to bite our tongue with a supervisor. How to be kind to our brother and sister when they just annoy us to no end. How do we pray for our enemies if we don't have this? How do we do anything God has called us to? Turning the other cheek and on it goes. None of it works without this understanding that this is good. And God is calling us to this struggle. Don't miss the point. Let your faith be bigger than your fear. Luke 11:13, Jesus says, so if you're sinful, people know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? He's saying that we should pray for more of the Spirit. Let me ask you this. Can you ever fathom a time when you would bow before the Lord and say, God, I want you to fill me with less of you. I want less of you, God. Don't fill me so much because it's kind of heavy. Hopefully we wouldn't be thinking that. And yet, this is exactly the context. Jesus is saying, you want more of the Spirit, you need to pray and God's going to give it to you. And then he does this crazy thing in John 14:13-12, that whole section there. He refers to a time, he says, it's going to be good for me to go because when I leave, I get to send somebody real special. Trust me, it's better that I not be here. How can it be better that Jesus is not with us? Just trust me, I'm going to go away so that he can come and he's going to be awesome. You're going to be so thankful that I sent him. His name is the Comforter. Remember that? That's the Holy Spirit, he says. The Holy Spirit that you're supposed to ask for more of is a comforter. Now, at what point do you need a comforter if you're already comfortable? Think about that for a minute. At what point do we need? Why would we need a comforter if we are already comfortable? If our goal is to be comfortable, if we pray for God to remove the struggle from our life, why do we even need the Holy Spirit? It's as if we're saying to God, would you remove yourself from me a little bit more? I don't want as much of you in me because I don't like it. I'd rather sit on the couch, spiritually speaking. God wants us to pray for courage, not for comfort. If we want a bold faith. That was a big if. Here's a mission God has called us to go into impossible odds and take on all that is evil in the world and the power of God. And it's only in that grandiose situation that we fully understand this. So it's a big if. Maybe we don't want to embrace God. Maybe we don't want to grow spiritually. That's a valid question. And I would ask you to think about that now. If you're not bold in your faith, maybe it's because you would rather be comfortable instead of courageous. Boy, that hits home, doesn't it? How do you be courageous with your spouse when they don't love God like you love God? How do you be courageous with your children when they want to go and do crazy things when they're adult and you can't control them? How do you be courageous with your coworkers, with your friends and family, those people who belittle you and say things? How are you courageous with seasoned with salt, not mean and nasty, but how are you bold in that mind? Maybe it's just easier to, you know, I'm just going to sit on the couch and just, it's better not to ruffle the feathers. It's better if I don't say anything. It's just going to make them mad. Now there's wisdom in that thought. But make sure that's wisdom you're following and not fear. You see the difference. It's real easy. Oh, well, you know, and we just make it up and we just kind of avoid it. But really what we're saying is, God, I don't want as much of you and me. I would rather live a more comfortable, safe life because I am in America. That's the American dream. But little bit by little bit, prayers like that and ISIS like that is squeezing in on us. There is a day coming, church, when we will not have a choice. You're either in or out based on how courageous you are. We have a luxury right now. Let's enjoy it. But don't miss it. God is still very, very, very interested in courage over comfort. Comfort is a blessing on the backside of courage. Here's the thing. Found people find people. It's the reaction to what God has done. Found people find people. And that takes boldness, and that takes courage, and that is not something we stumble into lightly. It takes a knees perspective of, God, I've got to go into this world and do what you've called me to do, and it's going to be scary, but I am there. Fill me with enough courage to do it today. There's a story told by Erwin McManus. He came home and was tucking his kid in, and his kid was afraid because they had been to the Bible camp and been talking about scary things, and he began to learn that his kid was scared because they had talked about demons. They're out in the woods and there's demons and he was getting all freaked out and Satan and all this stuff. And he realized very quickly, I can't just say, oh, well, they're not real. If it was a ghost story, he might could have blown it off, but he kind of realized he was in a little bit of a pinch of a hard spot. How do you honestly talk to your children when they're scared about demons? So this is what he did. He says, son, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pray for you this way that you would be so scary that the demons would run. Can you feel that? Oh, yeah. Oh, right? That's what God has called us to. The courageous side of life. Where the demons run because we're running towards God and they will flee from us, according to James. That troubled passage we just read in James, it ends, continues on with this idea of when we run towards God, the devil will flee from us. There's power in that. And there is, but it takes courage. This is not something we stumble into. You must choose it. You must pray towards it. And you must step out in faith, in boldness, or nothing happens. Pray that God would make you so frightening that the demons would run. So dangerous. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to ask God for courage instead of comfort. Next time you feel overwhelmed and you get ready to say, God, could you just lift this burden? I want you to stop and pause and say, okay, God, is this one of those times where I need to pray for courage? Is this one of those times that you want to give me courage? Is this one of those times where I need to suck it up and bust through or lick my wounds? Help me understand. Give me clarity. And if courage is what you want me to have, bring it. Fill me with your spirit and let me bust through. I promise you'll enjoy that way more. It's just scary to ask for. Because we have not because we ask not. And if you ask anything in his name, and that is for sure in his name, he will give it. And it will overwhelm you. I ask you again, what do you need to be free from? Don't forget our basket. Keep filling this out between now and January. What do you need to be free from? What do you need courage to face? What do you need courage to bust through? Start praying that direction now. God, give me courage to bust through. Fill in the blank. Because there's plenty in our life, and God wants to call us to that. I want to invite you to pray with me. I'll pray over you today. I'm going to ask God to bless us. This is a concept that is not American, but it is very richly rooted in Scripture. Very biblical. On all kinds of fronts. I'm just giving one little snippet of one story in Acts. But it's all over the Old and the New Testament. Those that are with us are many. Those that are with them are few. The world can't see it. Remember, the servant looked up and there was a legion of angels coming down. I mean, it's all through the Old and New Testament. God is with us. And it is bold and it is battle. He doesn't look at the outside of a man. He looks at the inside. And he anoints King David. And on it goes. So I want to pray over you today. And I want to ask you to receive this prayer. Feel what God is wanting to do in your life. And invite him to do it. Let's join together. Let's pray. Father, I just want to lift up church in the falls today, Lord. I pray for every single person here. You know exactly what's in their life, Lord. And what's amazing is I have no idea what all the details are, but you know. And they know you know because you're speaking through me in spite of me. And I thank you for that. Father, I pray that you would reach upon the hearts and the minds of each person here. Bring crystal clarity to their struggle, to what they need courage for instead of comfort. Give them boldness to bust through, not to run away. Father, help them to see it. Father, we don't pray for less pain. We pray for endurance. We don't pray for more money. We pray for less spending, less debt, more opportunity. Father, we don't pray for less anger. We pray for more love. Fill us with your Spirit. Help us to love in spite. Father, we don't pray for less problems. We pray for more solutions. Father, we don't pray to make us more comfortable. Father, I boldly ask that you would make us less comfortable so that we may embrace the Comforter. Help us to know you in that way. We want to be crucified with Christ and nevertheless live, and yet it's not us, but Christ living in us. We want to take up our cross daily, Lord. We want to follow the rhythm of Jesus when he said that if you follow me, people will persecute you. It is not an if. It is a will. It is an absolute. We know this, Lord, and we don't like it, but we accept it and we embrace it and we ask for courage. We ask for boldness and strength. And our individual struggles, Lord, the things that we don't know what to do with, we ask that you would fill that with your presence. Fill us with your Holy Spirit to comfort and to empower us to bust through it, that the gates of Hades will not prevail against us. Father, I pray a prayer of blessing over each of us today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God has been good to us. I hope somewhere in your heart this week, you're probably going to come face to face with some kind of a struggle. We all have them regularly, right? Can I have an amen for that one, right? I want to ask you this week to pray a little different. Say, God, not so sure about it. If you're not quite sure about it, that's okay. I want to ask you, God, to give me courage in this situation. What does that look like? As opposed to comfort, to escape the problem. Help me to bust through it. Give me wisdom, tools, power, tenacity, encouragement, words, whatever it is, to be courageous and not comfortable. If there's some way that God has laid on your heart today to respond, I would ask you to do that. Don't wait around. Grab one of us after the service. There'll be a shepherd's. In the back, while we sing this song, you can come forward. Let God move you today. Be courageous. Let's stand together and sing.
On bended knee I come. With a humble heart I come. Bowing down before your holy throne. Lifting holy hands. As I pledge my love anew, I worship you in spirit, I worship you in truth. Make my life a holy praise unto you. On bended knee I come, with a broken heart I come, bowing down before your holy throne. As I look upon your face, show your mercy and your change my life, O Holy Spirit. Make me fresh and ever new. Make my life a holy sacrifice to you.
Amen. Be seated, please.
Erase all of that, but just pray for a couple of real stressful. And I do pray for courage and strength all the time.
Let's do that. Miss Jean has come for today and says there's a couple of things in her family and her life that she's really struggling with right now and needs prayers for encouragement and strength. And we've all been there. Life is just crazy that way. We are with you, sister, and we love you. And if you guys would join with me, like reach your hands out. I know you can't all come over here, and that's fine. But let's pray over Miss Jean and ask God to bless her and her family and all that she needs. Let's pray together. Father, we lift up Jean Whitlock today. Lord, bless her. Lord, she loves you, and she loves this church, and she's faithful to it, Lord. And we just know that those are the kind of folks that you just swoop to their aid in amazing and miraculous ways. And so, Lord, we ask for that. We ask for a bold intervention into these situations that are on her heart today. Lord, we pray that you would provide all that she needs in every way. Give her strength. Give her courage, Lord. Give her boldness. May she speak what needs to be spoken. May she know when to be calm and to rest and to watch you work. Help her to be still and know and to be bold and speak all at the same time. Give her that wisdom. Father, we pray that you would lift her up with the kind of strength that only you can provide. Give her the ability and the strength in her legs to support the burden on her shoulders, that she may be stronger tomorrow than she is today. Father, we love Miss Jean. We thank you for her. Bless her now in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll send you out with a blessing today from 2 Timothy 1. Hear these words. The Spirit of God that God gave us does not make us afraid. His Spirit is a source of power and love and self-control. So don't be ashamed to tell people about the Lord Jesus, but suffer with me, Paul says, for the good news. God gives us the strength to do just that. May you go, may you love the world, and may you be bold. Go in peace. God bless you.